Well, good morning to you. We are glad that you are here today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10. If you don't, it'll be up on the screen, but it's always kind of good. I always like to have it in my hand, whether it's on your phone or you've got the old paper version. I prefer paper. That's how old I am. So listen, we are glad that you're here. If you're joining us online, we're so glad that you have joined us here at MC3. Man, we got some exciting things that are happening, and we just want to remind you about some of the things that are going on here. And that's why we want to invite you to Vision Night on October the 5th, I believe it is. And so we want you to be a part of this, to come in. We'll have a meal and all of that. We want you to be a part of seeing all the good things that God is doing now and will do, hopefully, as we just are just hopefully honoring Him in all that we do. And so we're not a perfect church, but we do serve a perfect God, and that's a cool thing too. And so He has walked with us through our steps and even through our missteps, right, MC3? And so we're glad that you are here and a part of us. And I know some of you guys are kind of kicking the tires here at the church. And let me just say this. How cool is it that you're showing up for church, right? You have passed a lot of people whose cars were in the driveway. And we are in interesting times. I'm going to use the word interesting times. And so we are super excited that you are here with us. It is a big deal for you to be here along with us today. We've been in a sermon series just talking about the good life. How do we live the good life? And so today we'll talk about what it looks like to serve a good Savior and to value Him. Well, let me just ask you this question in thinking about that. What is the value of something, right? Sometimes we may value some things over another. You may have an old trinket that someone looks at and goes, well, that's just trash. But to you, it may be a treasure. The old adage, one man's trash is another man's treasure, so to speak, right? And so what is the value of something? And so when you think about how do we determine what is valuable to us and what is not valuable to us? I think the first thing we would think of is cost, right? What's the cost of this thing? And so if it's valuable to us, then it must cost us a lot, or we think there has a lot of cost for us. The other thing would be the quality of something. Is it sustainable, right? Is it something that is long-lasting, kind of like gold and silver are sustainable and long-lasting? And so we kind of put those two together. And so if I were to kind of put it in a math equation, for us, value, it would kind of equal cost plus quality. To some degree. And so we would kind of think about that as how we value something. And then we would think about that as how much we want to pay for that very thing, right? So if we're getting something of value to us, then it's the cost is probably kind of low and the quality is kind of high, right? You can go to the dollar store and pick up things. Well, now it's $1.25 or whatever, but you know, they can't really call it the dollar and a quarter store, I guess. But you can go there and pick up something, but it may not last quite as long. But you may find a good deal somewhere. You know, I know Leslie's looking for a good deal in a car, and you found it, right? And so that's a cool thing. And so we all want something of value. We all want something that is valuable to us. And so what is the value of something? You know, I got to step back just a little bit and kind of take an assessment and kind of preparing for the sermon. And I kind of asked myself this question. So what's valuable to Art Stansberry? You know, what's valuable, right? And so I got to thinking about the people that I pray for the most. I got to thinking about my wife, my bride, Christy. You saw her at the top up there before you came down today, unless you came in the back door, and then you just kind of waved to her as you drove back here, right? And so I value my bride. She is incredible. She's important to me, and our household would not run without her. And so, in fact, I wouldn't know how to dress without her. I promise you. I mean that is a bad thing. That's a good thing. She'd go, Art, you don't need to, no, cargo shorts are out. You just don't wear those anymore, right? And so she helps me out in so many ways. And so she is precious to me. But so are my boys. Man, I love Caleb and Landon. Now, some of you may not have got a chance to meet Landon yet, but Christy and I valued him so much that yesterday morning we got up, got in the car, and we headed all the way down to Statesboro. Just so Mama could lay her hands on her son, right? And we took him out to lunch, and then we got him some groceries, and then we said, see you later, and we drove all the way back here yesterday. And so that's how much we valued him. we valued Caleb so much that when we got home, we made him sloppy joes. And so, to which he's like, I don't want any, I'll see you later. And so he had a paying gig somewhere, and so he didn't even eat it. But I value my boys. I value our time together. And it's been great in some ways to have Caleb in the house and Lana kind of gone, because Caleb and I kind of, you know, reconnect in a different way, which is kind of fun as well. And so I value Caleb and Lana, but I value my friendships with you. It's always enjoy laughing and talking with you. This is the most fun part about ministry, is people. It's sometimes the most frustrating part, just to be honest with you, but I love it. I love you guys, and I love hanging out with you. I love laughing. I love talking. I love sharing with one another. And so value our relationships. And many of us have been through a lot of things, haven't we? Been through a lot of things, Leslie, right? So we've been through a lot. And so I value that. You know what I value? I value a good hamburger. Man, I value, you can tell I value a good hamburger. In fact, Friday, we were gonna make Sloppy Joes, because we knew we were gonna be out of town. And so I said, you want me to make Sloppy Joes? And Christy goes, well, I was kind of thinking Village Burger. And I went, now you're talking my language, right? One of my favorite burgers at all is Village Burger in Tucker. I don't know if you've ever been or not, but you need to go. It is fantastic. And so I ate it and savored every bit of it. It was absolutely fantastic. And so I love a good hamburger. You know what I also love? And this is going to sound really weird, and this is not a slight on my car. I'm serious about this. I love my 1999 Camry. I love that thing. It is like a tank. It just goes wherever. It has 280,000 quality miles on it right now, and I love this thing. And so it is great. If I could ever find another car like that, I'd probably buy it just to have one, because, man, there was something they did in between 1997 and 2004 to those Toyota Camrys that were absolutely incredible. I love it. It doesn't look like much, but I love it. To me, it's great. In fact, I'm going to tell you this week. So it had the check engine light on, which has been the EGR valve and thing and whatever. And so I've got our mission was coming up in November. And so the check engine light's been on for about a month or so. And I've been, now I need to do something about that, but I didn't do it. Well, this past week, it went off. I was like, well, now it's time to go get an emissions test, right? And so I just drove right over, and it was on a Wednesday. I pulled right on in. Pass the test. I'm like, all right. I get here. We had a late night here with staff, and I get in my car at 9 o'clock. I turn it on. Guess what was on? Check engine light. I went, all right, Lord, look what you did. You know, so it was kind of cool, right? But I value that Camry. We've had that thing for 23 years. It's the same age as Caleb. So it's incredible. I love it. I also value my parents. My mom and dad, they led me to the Lord many years ago when I was a kid. They took me or drugged me to church or whatever. And so I really just appreciate them so very much. I don't get a chance to spend as much time with them because ministry and because they live in Tennessee. But yet, nonetheless, I value them. And then when I think about just the spiritual things, and I value, and you're going to hear us talk about this, I value prayer. I think prayer is an important part of things. Now, I say I value it. I don't do it as much as I should, right? And yet I do value it. I think there is extreme value, and I value God's word. I love opening up and diving into it. I value spending time with the Lord in those two ways. I value those things. And there's a lot of other things we could probably mention that we just value. But typically we can tell what a person values by the things that they do and what they spend their money on. So in other words, if we wanted to know, maybe you look at the person beside you or the person across the room, maybe it's someone you just met or you think you know their name, but you don't really know their name, and you wonder what they value. Well, if you could get access to their bank account and find out what they spend their money on, if you could get access to their day planner and find out what they spend their time on, if you get access to their streaming account or maybe their browsing history, I guarantee you could tell what they value in their life by simply what they spend their time on, what they spend their money on. And so all of us have things that we absolutely, absolutely value. But here's what I want us to get to today. I have a question for all of us. What is the value of a good Savior? What is the value of a good Savior? Maybe I put it in a different way. Do you value your good Savior? Because all of us have a Savior, right? John 3:16 tells us we have a Savior. We needed a Savior, whether we know it or not. In fact, there are some people that don't know they need a Savior, but they have one. Other people have rejected the fact that they've rejected their Savior. They know there's a Savior out there, or somebody, but they've rejected that and refused to follow their Savior. But the question still remains, do you, MC3, those that are here today, do you value your good Savior? You know, it's interesting that when you look at the Scriptures, all the passages that talk about how good God is, that He is a good Savior. He's a good shepherd, right? He is good. Jennifer read this a few moments ago, Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 107:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, Moses says to God, I want to see you, God. I want to see you. And God says, well, you can't see my face. But I tell you what, He says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Do you know why God can choose to whom He gives mercy and compassion? Do you know why God does that? It's because He's good. He's good, and He knows how to give good gifts, and He knows when to give those good gifts. When we're ready to receive those good gifts, He knows all of those things. And so I ask once again, do you value your good Savior? In Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17, this is what we're told. It says, as Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So here, think about this. This man was spot on when he said that Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was. Jesus was a really good teacher. I don't think we understand how good of a teacher Jesus really, really is. Jesus was such a good teacher that the Scriptures tell us that the people were amazed at His teaching. They were blown away by what they heard from Jesus because they had never heard anyone speak with such authority as Jesus. And obviously, He's the Son of God, so there's authority comes along with that. And so they had never heard that before, but Jesus really, really was a really, really good teacher. And so this young man obviously had heard Jesus speak before, and so he was probably captivated by Jesus' stories, drawn in by some of the stories and the parables that Jesus would tell. And we could assume that he agreed with some of the interpretations that Jesus had on Scripture. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have wasted his time asking Jesus, so how do I inherit eternal life? How do you see the Scriptures in all of this? And so he goes to Jesus. He says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? What an incredible question. All of us need to ask Jesus that question. Many of you have. Many of you have acted upon that. But all of us need to ask Jesus that question. And so Jesus directs him to the Scriptures. He says in verse 19, he says, you know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he says, well, teacher, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. Now, how many of you know that if you love someone, that you will tell them the truth? But that you will do it in love. So Jesus looked at this man and he loved him. And because of the love, Jesus is going to tell him the truth. And he's going to give it in a way, and he's going to package it in a way that this guy could understand so that hopefully he can make a life change, right? And so he says, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes I wonder, I read that and I kind of wonder about us, right? If you compare us to the rest of the world, we are filthy, stinking rich. I've got a 99 Camry. To some people, that is rich because they don't have a bicycle, right? And so we don't often think about how rich we are. And then I think about where we are spiritually in our nation, and I think maybe that's our problem. Maybe we're too rich. Maybe we don't rely on God enough for some of the things that we need. That's just an aside, but nonetheless. And so this man valued Jesus as a good teacher, which is good. I mean, that's a good thing. He valued him as a good teacher, but he did not value him as a good Savior, as his own good Savior. He was content to listen to Jesus. He was content to hear what Jesus had to say, to listen to his stories, to sit around and listen to the amazing way that Jesus proclaimed the Word of God. He was actually willing to listen to Jesus speak about the Word of God, even to seek him out and ask him for his own advice. But here's the thing that he was not willing to do. He was not willing to follow Jesus. And here's the thing. If we value Jesus, our good Savior, if we value Jesus, we will follow Jesus. James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Right? There we have a lot of people that will listen to a lot of sermons, right? They'll hear a lot of things. They'll go on and they'll read and they'll study and yet not do any of those things. They've checked the box on the hearing part, but not on the doing part. And so if we value Jesus as more than just a good teacher, because by the way, he is so much more than a good teacher. But if we value Jesus, we will follow Jesus. Margaret Stringer was just out of college, and she felt the calling of God to go to the South Pacific and minister to the headhunters on some of the islands there. People told her, Margaret, you can't go there. You can't go there. Missionaries are leaving that place because it's too dangerous. Why do you think you're going to go? They're going to kill you and they will eat you because that's what they do. They will kill you and then they will eat you. In fact, as she tried to press the issue, no mission board would sign off on her going. And they told her that it was a suicide mission that she'd be going on if she went. And so they would not sign off. Well, Margaret was determined to go anyways. And so she petitioned a helicopter pilot to take her to one of the islands. But he begged her. He said, listen. He pleaded with her saying, listen, it's not just that they'll kill you and eat you, but it's what they'll do to you. I'm begging you, don't go. Do not go to this island. But she insisted, no, I've got to go. God's calling me. These people, they need Jesus. I've got to go. And so the helicopter pilot got close to the island where they were going to just drop her in to the little jungle area on that island. And as he got ready to approach the island, he said to her one last time, he said, listen, I'll be back in 30 days to pick you up. But quite honestly, I don't think you'll be here. I don't think you're going to make it. I'm begging you one last time, don't do this. I can turn around right now. Don't go because you'll never come back. And she says, you don't understand. I don't have to come back, but I do have to go. I do have to go. You see, she valued her good Savior enough to follow him. She valued her good Savior enough to follow after Jesus and do what he called her to do. So let me ask you a question. Do you value your good Savior enough to follow him anywhere? Do you value Jesus enough to follow him to sobriety? Do you value Jesus enough to follow him to forgiveness because there's someone that you need to forgive? Do you value Jesus enough to follow him to dig deeper into prayer and read His Word because you feel like that lacks in your life? Do you value Jesus enough to surrender to Him and say, you know what, I need to go to the baptistry and I need to give my life to Christ today? Do you value your good Savior? Margaret Stringer valued Him enough to go to a place where she could potentially be killed. So the helicopter pilot lowered her down. But unbeknownst to anyone, to the helicopter pilot, to even Margaret Stringer herself, the exact place where they let her down was where a tribe had a 600-year-old legend that one day a white goddess would come out of the sky, and they were supposed to worship this goddess. And the minute she landed, they started worshiping her. And she said, no, don't worship me. You're not to worship me. I'm supposed to lead you to the God that you are to worship. She said it was the easiest soul-winning experience that she ever had. And she led that whole tribe to Jesus. All because she valued her Savior enough to give up everything and follow Him. And so do you love Him enough? Do you value Jesus enough to follow Him anywhere? Wherever He might take you. But in order to follow Jesus, we also have to trust Jesus, right? And so do we value Jesus enough to trust Him? If we value Jesus, we will trust in Jesus. We will trust in Him. So this young man in our story in Mark chapter 10 did not trust in Jesus. Instead, he trusted in his own goodness, right? All these things I have done, all these things I have kept since I was a boy, he was trusting in his own goodness. And we know this because he was unwilling to do the very things that Jesus was asking him to do, which, by the way, is mind-boggling to me. Why would you go to a guy who you know, who you like, who you probably have seen some miracles as well, you've heard him speak, he's spoken with authority, you call him good teacher, and you say, what should I do to inherit eternal life? You actually ask the question of Jesus. And when then Jesus doesn't give you the answer that you want to hear, you go, I'm good. How do you do that, right? How do you go to someone that you are, you know, supposedly know, you would know, and you ask the question, and then when he tells you, you're like, nah, it's okay, I'm good. Who does that, right? Who does that? Why would I follow? You ask the question, why not just follow what Jesus said? Who does that? We do that. Art Stansberry does that sometimes, right? Sometimes I'll ask God, what about this? Well, here's what I think you should do, you know, is what I hear him kind of say inside that still small voice, right? And I go, oh, well, I don't really know if that's right. Okay, how much should I give? Well, really, you want me to give all of it? Well, maybe half would be good, right? Lord, I mean, half is great. It's much better than what I gave the last time, so half is good. Why did you ask me then, right? Why would you ask me if you're not going to do what I say? So Jesus watches this young man walk away even after telling him all the things that he should have done. Got me to thinking about the passage of scripture that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does. Only the one who does. That would be one to underline in your scriptures if you have it. If you got your Bible and I underline in mine all the time, or you highlight, that's one to highlight, right? It doesn't say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who hears, right? Or the only one who reads, or the only the one who thinks. It's only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you trust in Jesus enough to do what he says in his word? Do you trust Jesus enough? Do you value him enough to do what he says when he says it in scripture? Or do we back up and go, well, yeah, but the times were kind of different back then, so I don't know if I would follow that now. I mean, back then they didn't have cars, and so, and, you know, if I can just make it about me, right, in my own car, because they didn't have cars back then, and they, you know, I could do whatever. No, you can't. We follow what God says in his word. We do what God says. And when we do that, we value him. And so do you trust Jesus enough with your life, no matter the outcome? Do you trust him, no matter the outcome. This man didn't trust Jesus enough when Jesus says, sell everything you got and give it to the poor and then come follow me. Could you imagine what was going on in his head? Sell everything? I mean, the guy was rich. Sell everything? What do you mean, Jesus, sell everything? How would I live? How am I going to support myself? What am I going to do with all my stuff? What's that going to look like if I sell everything? And the whole time, Jesus is going, come on, dude, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Sell it, sell it, sell it, and then come follow me. And he says, no, I'm good. And he just walks away. Is there a point where you and I, we trust Jesus up to a point, right? Jesus, I'll trust you as long as it's right here. As long as I'm comfortable with what you're asking, then I'm good. But you ask me to do something beyond that, then I'm not going to. Jesus, you want me to talk to somebody about Jesus that I don't know? Are you kidding me? No thanks, I'm see you later, right? Lord, you want me to give how much? Right, how much? No, I'm not going to do that. Lord, you want me to serve where? I don't think so. Is there a certain point that you have where you go, God, I'll serve you, but it's not past this line, right? Remember the old, some of you guys won't remember this when you're kids, like, you know, you draw the line, like, if you cross that line, I'm telling you, it's going to be trouble, you know? And then they cross that line, like, well, I tell you, if you cross this line, there's really going to be trouble. Is that what we do with Jesus? Jesus, I'll follow you as long as it's right there. And Jesus is like, okay, come on. Okay, well, as long as it's right here, then I'll follow, because we're not comfortable with what Jesus is asking us to do. Do we trust Jesus with everything? Do we trust him in everything? True story. A couple of American ministers went to China, got invited to an underground church. And so they went, and they were led through corridors and back alleys and through sewers and all of this. They finally ended up at this place where the underground church was meeting. And as they got there, one of them was asked to go ahead and preach, and so he was going to do that. And an older teenage girl came up to him and said, hey, listen, I'm supposed to sing a song before you preach. Is it okay if I sing two songs? Normally we sing one song, but is it okay if I sing two songs? He's like, yeah, sure, absolutely. Sing as much as you want. He didn't care. She goes, okay, thanks. And so she went off to prepare. The minister of the underground church came up and said, hey, I heard you talking to her. Do you know why she wants to sing two songs? And he said, uh-uh. And he said, well, a while back, they caught her father and her brother following Jesus, and they went and arrested them and ended up killing them. Then they captured her mom, and they killed her too. And now she thinks they're on her trail. And she thinks this may be the last time that she'll sing. So she's asking to sing two songs. Two songs. Do you know what one of the songs was that she sang? I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. She trusted Jesus with her very life. No conditions, just complete trust. By the way, what song would you want to sing? What song would you sing, and how would you sing it if you knew this was the last time that you'd be singing? How would that look, right? If we value Jesus, man, we'll trust him. We will trust him in everything. Finally, if we value Jesus, we will tell others about Jesus. We tell people about the things that we value. I got this great place to eat a hamburger, right? Village Burger. It's incredible, right? If you ever get a chance to buy a 1999 Toyota Camry, buy it, right? We tell people about the things. You ought to see my son, Landon and Caleb, how awesome they are, right? We tell people about the things that we value. If we value Jesus, we'll tell others about Jesus. Jesus says to the young man, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then he says, come follow me. Come follow me. And Jesus was being serious. He was being serious. Do you know where following Jesus leads? It leads to making fishers of men. This is the exact invitation that Jesus gave to Peter and Andrew and James and John. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. What was Jesus calling this young man to? Go and tell others about me. That's what I'm calling you to. He's calling him to evangelism. He's calling him to ministry. And so Jesus wants us to do the same. If we value Jesus, we'll tell others about Jesus. This is what I love about the story of the Samaritan woman. As Jesus goes and meets her at the well, he engages her in conversation. Jesus miraculously reveals to her kind of her life, right? Kind of lays it open. He talks about her struggles, talks about her past relationships. And so she's kind of blown away by it all. And then on top of it, Jesus reveals to her, unlike anyone else, he reveals to her, by the way, I'm the Messiah. And so she leaves her water jar, goes back into town. And what does she say to people? She goes, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She had a treasure that she had found, and she wanted to tell everybody about it. And so she went back to the town, and the town came out to see Jesus. And later on, at the end of the story, they look at the woman, they said, listen, we no longer believe because what you told us about all of this. We believe because we've experienced him for ourselves. They understood the treasure they had in Jesus. But she couldn't help but speak about Jesus, about who he was. And so she tells everybody that she knew. Or take Peter and John, as they are in Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, and they are arrested for talking about Jesus. And the people there say, hey, listen, don't be speaking in the name of Jesus anymore. You stop that, right? Stop doing that. And so what do they say? They say, as for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Or what about Jeremiah, who says, God's word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I've got to share it. I've got to share about Jesus. If we value Jesus, we will tell others about Jesus. A minister from the States went overseas to a Central Asian country. And two Christian brothers came up to him and said, we'd like for you to pray for us. He said, sure, how can I pray for you? They said, well, in our country, they cut your hands off if you tell others about Jesus. He said, they cut your hands off? They said, yeah, they cut your hands off. He says, and if you do it a second time, they cut your tongue out. They cut your tongue out? Yeah. He said, well, do you have anybody in your church without any hands? They said, yeah, we've got people in our church without hands. He goes, do you have anybody in your church without tongues? Yeah, about a dozen people. They said, here's what we want you to pray for us for. Pray that when the time comes, we'll be willing to give our hands to Jesus. Be willing to tell others about him. If we value Jesus, we are going to tell others about Jesus. Friends, I'm going to let you know, that's what valuing a good Savior looks like. And I wonder, are you and I willing to give up anything, everything, in order to secure our good Savior? Will we give up anything for him? Go sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Now, for us, that may not be selling all your goods and wares, right? And like you're clearing out your house. But maybe in order to value Jesus, you know there's some things that you need to begin to put away in your life and begin to follow him on. Maybe for some of you, that means that, hey, listen, I value Jesus enough that I'm going to trust in him because I haven't trusted him in certain areas of my life. Maybe for some of you that means that I'm going to value Jesus enough that I am going to tell others about Jesus because I've kept that message for far too long to myself. And now I need to let it out and share it with other people. What is it that you need to give up right now? Right now as you sit there in those seats or as you're online, what is it that you need to give up right now? What is it that you need to confess and walk away from today? What is it that you need to put behind you? Is it your anger? Is it hate? Is it unforgiveness? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it pornography? Is it pride? Maybe you just need to follow Jesus to the baptistry because you have been dragging your feet for far too long. And maybe now it's time to make it happen. Maybe you just need to trust Jesus in the area of giving and serving. Maybe you just need to give up your fear, the fear of telling somebody about Jesus, because you know there's a neighbor, there's a friend, there's a family member that you just need to make sure that they know about Jesus. How much do we value our good Savior? You know, at the end of all this, as it was kind of being written, I got to thinking that we have brothers and sisters in Christ willing to give up their hands for Jesus. How can I not give up the things that hinder me from walking one step closer to Christ? Do we value Jesus enough to follow him anywhere? Do we value Jesus enough to trust him in everything? And do we value Jesus enough to tell the good news to everyone? Let me pray. Father, thank you for the reminder, Lord God, you are a good Savior. You are so good to us that you would step into our world, that you would die for me, knowing all the sins that I would commit, knowing them all. I'd be embarrassed if it was all laid out right now, Father. And yet you know them all, and you went to the cross willingly for me, Father. And I thank you for that. Lord, you went to the cross willingly for all of us. And so, Father, today we thank you. We thank you for the way that you value us, the way that you have given of yourself for us. Help us now, Lord God, to negotiate how we can value you in a way that honors you, glorifies you, and lifts you up in the presence of others as well, Lord God, so they can do the same. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us as we walk away from here, that we would know the value of you, and that we would do it in a way that honors you, Lord God, and that we would act upon it, Father. It wouldn't just be words, but that we'd put feet to it. So, Father God, we pray that you'd bless us in all of this. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.